Tech Talk with Jess Kelly.
In association with Viatel Technology Group, IT leaders breathe easy with Viatel Managed Cybersecurity. Viatel.com.
This is News Talk.
Yeah, you are very welcome along to Tech Talk. This is Jess Kelly with you here on News Talk. Coming up over the next hour, we'll take a closer look at how music labels are fighting AI. 1 year of Threads, what impact has it made? And as ever, I'll answer your tech questions. If you want to get in touch, you can drop me an email to techtalk@newstalk.com, or you'll find me on Instagram at JessKellyNT. But I want to start with this.
Through the reeds and the meadows, where the herons dive, her journey's a legend with memories alive. In the heart of the Shannon, her stories unfold, of the nights filled with laughter and the mornings of gold.
Stunning. That is, I feel obliged to instantly say that is not Christy Moore. I heard it for the first time a few weeks ago and it took me a good 40 seconds to realise that fact. But that is a song produced by a platform called Udio. This allows users to go on and create songs in a matter of minutes. You can input certain details, so you'll have heard references to the Shannon perhaps there. You can customize it, so if you wanted a song about a friend or a family member, you can do that. And then you give it direction in terms of style and genre. So that non-Christy Moore song is one of many products it has produced. But in recent weeks, Universal Music Group, Sony Music Entertainment and Warner Records have filed lawsuits against Udio and another platform called Suno, alleging copyright infringement of recorded music at, and this is a quote, an almost unimaginable scale. So how big of an issue are platforms like this, and what does it mean for the artist? My old pal, Tom Dunn, is with me now. Tom, I always enjoy talking to you. As a creative person, what's your take on platforms like Udio and Suno?
Well, not just from a creative's person's point of view, but also I'm involved at IMRO, and it is seen as the biggest existential threat to songwriters and copyrighted music, unlike anything else that's ever come down the road, basically. And it's top of everyone's agenda, and the EU has just brought in a bill trying to deal with it, and member states are signing up to that as we speak. So it's absolutely huge. And the general view is, left to its own devices, it could gut the music industry as we know it and just absolutely hollow out all of the great copyrighted works and people's back catalogues and all the money that they've made from them, which the music industry has been running on for the last 100 years, basically. So it's the number one threat, no question about that. And people are looking at it. It's the first thing on every meeting to do with the music business. It's what's it at now? Where does it stand? How has it affected us? It's very much up and running, but where it's going to go to and how it's going to start really impacting still remains to be seen.
Mm. One of the counter arguments I've heard in this debate, and I'm going to be devil's advocate for a second, is that, you know, stuff like sampling and heavy inspiration and so on have been within the music industry for a very long time. And if you look at an artist, you know, somebody like Mark Ronson, for example, he's done incredible work bringing music from older artists to younger generations with his sampling. Is there not an argument that this technology is just another version of that? Or is the thinking still that this is very much going to gut the industry and hurt those working in it?
Yeah, I think the scope of it is so much different that's what's really frightening. And I think also it is a little bit underhand, and not really a little bit, it's very underhand, because when it arrived for us, there was this kind of disbelief where you could say, write a song in the style of Nick Cave, and it would write quite a reasonable song in the style of Nick Cave. And that was even played, one of them, to Nick Cave, who said, yeah, it does sound like me, but there's no heart or soul in it, he said. But then after a while, you realize that the reason it's able to do that is that it's been trained on the entire works of Nick Cave. Somebody has taken all of his music and input it into these AI platforms. So it's not just in the style of it, it's actually going back to algorithms of his work, copying his chord progressions, his style of lyrics. And it is a Nick Cave song, is what it really boils down to. And the stories of people going to one of the engines, Udio, and saying, write me a song in the style of Mariah Carey, give it a kind of, you know, her vocal range, make it seasonal, all of those things. And they get just a, you know, a carbon copy of her Christmas hit. And that's laughable stuff. But whilst for very big stars like her, everyone's going to cop it. It's further down the road, if it's a lesser known artist, doesn't have maybe huge backup of record companies, you could take a song in the style of one of their songs and then maybe put it in a film or something like that. And then the people making the film wouldn't need to pay any money towards that. Anyone at the film will think it is you, but you're not getting a penny for it. And then you might be going back to the waitressing job that you tried so hard to avoid.
Yeah, this is something that we've covered a bit here on News Talk over the years. The smaller artists who are absolutely booking gigs and maybe they're playing a stage at a festival and so on, they are hustling hard to make it. This does feel like yet another hammer blow to them.
It does. I think anybody trying to make it or just survive in music, which is where most people are, there's very few huge stars of the level of U2 or Hozier or people like them. Most people are depending on a mix of CD sales at gigs, doing gigs, money from radio plays, all that kind of stuff. So if you see CD sales are gone and then you have this little check that comes in once a year from your collection agency, if that's getting eaten into as well and taken out, then you will be gone. That will be, you know, an absolute groundbreaking event in music. And everyone's aware of it. You know, all the agencies and the record companies, they all know people have to play fair. You can't just take somebody's work and ingest it into an engine. And that goes for everything. It's not just music. It's the same for artwork. And loads of the arts AI platforms are getting sued as well. Or journalism or books. You can't just suddenly, you know, appropriate somebody else's intellectual rights and just pass it as your own. It's too big a threat, I think, is the thing. It's just, it seems existential.
One thing I'm like genuinely curious about though is, like, is there a way and a world in which the artist benefits from AI services? Things like ChatGPT, for example. Like, I'm sure there has to be an artist out there using it as a launch pad or a spark when they're songwriting. Because there's no doubt, and we've spoken about it a lot, you know, they are useful tools. As a songwriter, would you have ever dabbled with stuff like that?
You would do little things like that, yeah. And it's funny, you know, there is kind of a human equivalent to this. There are people who are really talented producers who can play every instrument and all that kind of thing. And people will go to them and say to them, I want to write a song in the style of, say, the Bee Gees. And they will know all the kind of chops that the Bee Gees use. And they will write a song in the style of the Bee Gees. And that will be their song. That will be, even though you've taken inspiration from how they've worked, there's no protection for the Bee Gees against that. So that kind of stuff has gone on all the time. But this is people who haven't ever written a note, just sitting down and coming up with very highly derivative songs. And I think there's an action going on at the moment for the Recording Industry Association of America. And they're saying if you want to train on all those copyrighted works, you need to pay a license fee to do it. It's as simple as that. And, you know, if you can come to an arrangement that the people who wrote it initially get recognized and get rewarded for that, then there's no problem. But just taking it and acting like it's yours isn't on.
Just to explain how it works a little bit, when you play songs on your show here on News Talk, for example, a log is kept of the music that you play, and then that list goes to Imro, the body that you mentioned at the start of this chat, and that ensures that the artists you play get whatever the fee is. We know, because we've spoken about it, that Universal pulled their music library from TikTok and there was a huge spat over the amount of money the company would pay the label for access to its music library. So there is, I suppose, form and history for debates of this nature, recent history. Is there anything specific here in Ireland that's being done to try and address it, to protect the artists? Because it does seem, you know, at least that this industry, if not many others, is under huge pressure from big tech on a few different fronts.
It is. And the glory here is that people like Universal also have deep pockets. The tech companies have deep pockets, and so too do Universal and Sony and Warners. And they're making good money from their back catalogues. And they don't want it threatened. So, yeah, the way it works is every time a song gets played on the radio, if you've written it, you get paid for it. And the same is true on TV, or if you're lucky enough to get something synced into a film. And that's true the world over. And those agencies all over the world collect that. And IMRO is a particularly good agency for all of that. So that's what people live on and what they can depend on for the rest of their lives, basically, if they have very big hits. And all of the agencies are looking at what's going on and saying, if you're taking our works, if you're taking work that we represent and that's copyrighted, then you need to pay for that. And they're saying to them, you know, either sign a license deal or there will be problems. And a lot of this is going to be seen as happening on a case-by-case basis. So if somebody suddenly has a hit and somebody can say, I think there's an awful lot of my songwriting gone into that, it can be scanned. You can run that through software and see if indeed it was trained on your music. So that would be a court case, and that would be a very expensive court case for the people who stole the music in the first place, is the only word to describe it.
Yeah, but just for the smaller artist again, like if I am a smaller artist and I have a few tunes, not only am I not making enough money from streaming to sustain me, but if my music is taken and interpreted by AI, I'd have to pay a hell of a lot of money to take legal action and fight to protect what's mine.
You'd have very, very limited options there, unless you've signed a publishing deal with a publisher with deep pockets. And the stories, by the way, are unbelievable. There are people, I know of one traditional Irish musician who discovered that an album in Scandinavia was one of his albums slowed down. So it just, somebody had recorded it, slowed it down, put a new name on it and released it. And it had been a hit as well. So those kind of things happen. There's a certain sense of panic in the business. And I think people, and that's a lot of that is fear, where you just don't know what's going to happen next. And you kind of know that these engines, the songwriting kind of engines that are trained, are going into the hands of people who are 13, 14, 15, who couldn't care less where it's coming from. And who are also very creative. So, and then they might produce something and they might stick it out there, and it then will be sampled and there'll be a second generation copy of that. And the fear would be that as each new generation copy comes out, it becomes impossible to work out where it came from. I don't know where that's going to end, to be completely honest, Jess. And, you know, maybe it'll blow over and that will become a genre of music, which is not dissimilar to elevator music, that it's not as good as the originals, but it'll get you by, that kind of stuff. Who knows? Or maybe it'll be brilliant. Maybe it will be distinctively new.
I remember when I used to work on your show back in the day, we'd often spend time in the afternoon just listening to music. I used to love the afternoons where we'd just be passing CDs back and forth across the desk. And I watched your face light up when you came upon a new artist or track that you love. I always refer back to the first time you heard Gavin James. You were blown away. And I think you had a bit of an emotional reaction. You definitely, like, I could see it, that it, you weren't just like, oh, this is cool. Like, you, it struck you in a different kind of way. When you listen to an AI artist or AI produced music, have you ever been tricked by it or drawn in by it? Or are you always able to tell that it's been produced by AI?
So far, everything I've heard, when people have played stuff to me that's an AI version of Oasis, I can hear it's an AI version of Oasis. It's like a bar band. It's got all of the guys hitting all the right notes, but it just doesn't have any of the soul or the swagger or the intelligence of Oasis. I think they are very easily spotted. And I think if you're able to use AI to that degree, then you probably, that you don't recognize, or it sounds new and original, then maybe it's hats off to you. But so far, it's starting from a very derivative place. And what you look for in music is a bit of the person's personality and their soul coming through in it. And people that excite me, like the new Lazarus Soul album next week, only one band could write that music, and it's brilliant. And, you know, I'd hate to think of anything being taken away from them through essentially crooks on AI. But I do think trying to replace the soul in people is beyond AI.
Yeah, it definitely is. So ultimately, is this going to just come down to legislation and legal cases? Like, is legislation the best and possibly only line of defense we have for this at the moment?
It seems to be, and the legislation varies from territory to territory. And in Europe, we seem to have taken a very strong hand with this. And you can't copyright an AI-generated work, for instance. But in other countries, they're taking a different tack. In America, it's much more free and easy. So you may find in a year or two that you're seeing a wave of AI music coming from America and not so much from Europe. And I don't really know how that's going to play out. Maybe it could be great music coming to America. No one knows. It's really, we're in very unknown territory with the whole thing. But I know one thing, people who've written music and who depend on their publishing income are very worried indeed.
Yeah, and I think they're right to be as well, unfortunately. I know we will both be watching the developments in this case and indeed this entire space very closely over the coming months, and we will no doubt be talking about it again. But for now, Tom Dunn, as always, thank you so much.
Thank you.